A reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 12 to 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to see a new face up there. I've tried to make sense and salvage this sermon all week long. I tried to stick to the theme, the plan I made months ago, trying to be faithful to the liturgical Trinity Sunday and my own struggles with the language and its theological origins, and the reality that our world is crumbling before us. No prescribed day will work anymore. We can't just do what we thought we were going to do. All plans went out the window. So many of my colleagues said the same thing. We're all trying to make sense of what is happening in our world and in our lives, and adhering to plans just don't work anymore. So while I intentionally and originally intended on speaking about the Trinity, I found myself focused not on the implications of the meaning of Trinity, but the very councils that dictated the creeds that uphold it and their mandate for believing Christians thereafter. I had written my whole sermon, and I realized that I was actually writing two, maybe even three different sermons, one on the text, one on the history of the Trinity and the theological understandings of it, and the other a response to what is happening in our world. But then I thought about our ancestor of the late 18th and early 19th century, the great American Baptist, Paul Rauschenbusch, and the urgency with which he told us that we must embrace the social gospel with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other. And I knew I had to scrap what I wrote early in the week to speak a word of truth for today. I needed to be faithful to the Spirit's stir. So even as I wrote and rewrote, I rearranged, added, deleted. It did the exegetical work. At this point, I can't even count the number of versions. My intent was to keep faithful to that original intent of the day and address what was happening in our world and the church as well. It is the season of Pentecost, after all, and the Spirit is stirring among us, jolting us out of our comfort zones and opening our eyes to see and hear in new ways. Unclog our ears, O Spirit. We have some listening to do. But nothing I was working on was coming together. Just wasn't happening. And that's the truth. What we're doing isn't working for any of us anymore. Just as we had finally gotten used to a rhythm in quarantine, a straw broke the camel's back when George Floyd was killed and his murderers untouched. Well, now charges have been brought against all of them. But what has awakened in our country is surely the stirring of the spirit. Out of homes and into streets, people, young people, and old as well, have poured out to take a knee, to march, to demand justice. It is not always tame, though in majority it is peaceful. But over and over again, I have been reminded of the centuries of pains, wounds, abuse, and oppression that does not heal itself quietly. I am aware that as a white woman, I cannot fully understand, and I will not cast judgment. Instead, I will stand in solidarity, and I will listen. So me, trying to put my sermon in a box and neatly open and close it and fit it in the context of Trinity Sunday seemed like a farce. I knew I couldn't just take the easy way out and write what the calendar said I would. I was hoping I could puzzle this all together and somehow make everything fit. Is there a way to talk about it all in 20 minutes or under? I doubt it. In my second version of the sermon, I decided to focus on the origins of the Trinity and how the concept came late, that it was created as a response to Constantine's conversion to Christianity and the need to decide who was in and who was out. That orthodoxy and heresy was a state creation. It is not biblical, although some might say it is derived from scripture, yes, places like Paul and the Gospel of John, but it is largely man-made. Yes, I said man-made because they were men. It's a largely man-made concept. Like so many, I am infuriated that the President of the United States gassed peaceful protesters and commandeered a church for his own photo op, forcing the church out of their courtyard where they were providing ministry, food, water, and medical services, and without warning, caused them to run for fear of their own safety. Friends, this is an egregious overreach of the government. We believe in separation of church and state. We have the right to religious freedom. That's not just something that we at Fairview believe. That's something that we as a country believe. And yet we have a case here where a church was forcibly stopped from doing their mission and ministry without warning so that the president could use their church for his own purposes. This should blow your mind. Now, one of the reasons our church is a non-creedal church is precisely because the creeds, which codified the concept of the Trinity, were mandates of the state. As non-creedal churches, we were founded as response to the state churches, like the Roman Catholic Church or the Church of England. We originated as a protest to state-founded churches. So inherent for me in a day like Trinity Sunday is a claim on our own Baptist and congregational heritage as non-creedal churches who don't have to believe in a Trinity if we don't want to, and an affirmation that the government cannot tell us what to do, how to worship, or kick us out of our churches. Now, that's not the only problem I have with the Trinity. I've shared with you before some of my struggles with this theological precept. You can have more further conversations with me on that. But I think that there is something powerful about thinking about the different aspects of God experienced by humanity. And as I contemplated this particular scripture, I could see the Trinity reflected in God's manifestations. I mean, after all, this morning's scripture speaks of God, our parent, the creator that imbues the spirit. If ever we needed to cry out for Abba, it is now. I can barely even allow myself to think about George Floyd dying, calling out for his mother. Abba, Mama. How we need our parent God to hold us, to save us, to comfort us in this time of heartache when comfort seems nearly impossible to find. There is no solace. But if comfort is to be had, it can only come from the arms of a loving God, a father, a mother, that which created life and imbued us with breath. With breath. And when our breath exhales, it is that mama, that Abba, that parent then holds us close. Our Abba, Mother, Creator, imbues the Spirit. That very Spirit is not one of slavery to return to living in fear, Paul says, but a spirit of adoption that says we are children of God. That alone is a message that we can lift up and celebrate today as our Black siblings are seeking to be heard, their lives to matter. They will not return to slavery. There is no turning around. Even as the powers of this world would invoke fear, with the Spirit, there is no falling back into it. Though everything seems crazy, that's almost an insane statement to make. There is so much to fear. How relevant these words are when the military is out in force. Guns for hire are said to have infiltrated our streets. My feed is filled with images of deep bruises from people like public radio reporter Adolfo Guzman Lopez. And too many of those who ran from the church that day, their eyes are burning, their legs peppered with rubber bullets. Well, there is a lot to fear. There is a lot to fear. But the Spirit tells us that we will not fall back into it. And then there's Jesus. Jesus the Christ, who Paul experienced in a post-resurrection spiritual epiphany, but who was the man who embodied the Spirit on earth. Christians have tried to make sense of this understanding, this embodiment, throughout the centuries. But ultimately, if we are to see Jesus as the embodiment of God, we are to see the Spirit alive in the person that was in the flesh, in his teachings and his preachings, the actions he took while he lived on this earth, then this man who lived with the poor, who fed the hungry, who brought healing to the sick and to the broken, has something to teach us. He lived in solidarity with humanity. And not just any. Those who were on the margins. Jesus, the man who was killed, strung up and lynched on a cross by a corrupt empire that feared his power. That's who Jesus is. And even as I contemplate all of this, I do so with the backdrop of not only what is happening in our country, but also as I grapple with the loss of our church. Marty Barmer called me crying this week as she thought about Ernestine dying now, in this moment in time, after spending her life working for racial justice amidst this unrest, and a devastating reminder that there is still so much work to be done. In 97 years, she couldn't do it all. I spent all of Thursday writing my words for tomorrow's service with her family, and all I could do was think about how Ernie helped to shape our church and our experience. Her willingness to first integrate First Baptist Church in Santa Ana with courage and fearlessness when she was not welcomed in their church, but she bravely walked into Jesus's church and did his work anyway. And then she did it here, too. For decades, her presence among a largely white congregation helped to shape the minds and hearts of the good people of Fairview. And so now, as we witness a nation torn apart by a race war that has been stoked by the fires of hate and injustice, we know where we stand with Ernestine. So does all of this fit together in a sermon? I don't know. Perhaps it's as disjointed as our world, and for this, I am sorry. Both for my inadequacies and for the inadequacies of our nation to serve all of its people, there is much to lament. All of creation is groaning, wailing, mourning. And yet perhaps we groan, wail, and mourn to birth something new. To weep and rage for our country, the loss of our freedoms, the infringements upon our religious rights, to wail and see that the injustice that continues against people of color and those who stand with them as flailing governments seek to wield its power in a pathetic attempt at silencing our freedoms. To mourn and remember George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and all the names of those we don't know, but the one name we do, who loved us and shaped us and dared to transform the most segregated hour of the week. That's right, the Sunday morning hour of worship, our own Ernestine Ransom. Because of her, we will march on. We will not be silenced. We will walk with hope. Hope, which will save us. Hope, which cannot always be seen, but hope that we will await for and work for because of our Ernie, because of George, who we did not know, and all the others. And because we know that the God of our universe, experienced in many ways as creator, redeemer, sustainer, parent, Christ, and spirit, God in us, among us, with us, hope will guide the way. Amen.